I'm going to be reading tonight from the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Anyone have any idea what it might be about? 11th chapter of Hebrews, the faith chapter. Thank God, thank God. I'll begin reading with the first verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Before this, his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let me just share some definitions, maybe. The Bible says, the writer says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is belief and trust in the loyalty of God. One writer said, faith is confidence that God is who the Bible says he is, and it's also the conviction that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Then another said, faith is our handle on what we can't see. I thought that's pretty good. Faith is something to hold on to that you can't even see. He's a big God. And it was in the Mark chapter number 9, we're told that after Jesus had come down from the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, and Moses, and Elijah on the mount, that he met a father at the foot of the mountain that had a son that was possessed of demons. And in the course of the conversation, the father told Jesus about what was happening, how the demons were trying to destroy his son, throwing them, causing him to have seizures and casting them into the water or into the fire or what have you. And he said to Jesus, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on my son. I read that. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on my son. I want you to think about it. This father of this son was talking to the one that created the heavens and the earth and said, if you can do anything. He was talking to the Christ of glory, saying, if thou can do anything. He was conversing with him who is the resurrection and the life, and saying, if you can do anything, if thou canst do anything. He was talking to the one that has all power, saying, if thou canst do anything. And Jesus answered, and you know the story, and when Jesus finally answered, he said, if thou canst believe, what's the best of it? All things are possible to him that believeth. If you can only believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's what I want to preach about tonight. For the next few moments of time, we sing the short courses, the Lord I believe, Lord I believe. We sing, my God is able. We sing, it's no secret what God can do. We sing, my God can do anything. And I believe that. No doubt we all believe that, but I ask the question tonight, do we really believe? Do we really believe that God can do anything? Do we believe that he can save those unsaved loved ones of ours that have gone so far away from God, and that they don't want to hear one thing, they don't want you to say one word, and they don't want to listen to anything about the Lord? Leave me alone. Do you believe God's able to save them? Do you believe God's able to heal? When we've gone as far as we can and don't know what to do and how, what else to do, I said, pray. I still believe that God has the answer. Amen, amen, amen. I thought with at least the last two times that Thomas ministered on that Sunday night, how they told him the service, he has anointed and prayed for people. I believe this, as long as the Lord leaves us here on this earth, we're going to still preach it, we're going to still believe it, we're going to still pray one for another. And God is hearing and answering. Thank the Lord, and because we believe that he's the omnipotent Christ, that he's able to do all things and do them well. But do we believe with all of our hearts that God is working something out tonight? I come back to that verse in the 8th chapter of Romans, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God.
If I didn't believe that, sometimes I would, I don't think I would be able to, well, I know I wouldn't. If I didn't believe that, I don't think I would be able to keep going at times, because I've got to trust God. And I believe that everything comes in my path. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man or a righteous woman are directed by the Lord. And sometimes those steps will lead some difficult, it will lead you to the top of Moriah with Abraham. It'll lead you into the fire, it'll lead you into the flood. But if God is with you, we're going to turn out with victory. Thank God, thank God. Do we believe that all things are working together for the good of God, for the good of God? The boy's father in the Bible story, after hearing Jesus talking about the blessings, he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, now I believe. Now I have faith, but help me that my faith might be built and might be increased and strengthened. God, help me, I pray. In the 17th chapter of Luke, Jesus talking to the disciples about forgiveness, and they made the same request. They said, Lord, increase our faith. This is an important part of the sermon tonight. God had blessed the disciples, has sent them out. They had healed the sick, and they had done all kinds of miracles in the name of the Lord. And now they are saying, Lord, increase our faith. Listen, I don't care how long we've served God, how far we've gone down the road, we can still have little more improvement in our faith. Help us, God. Strengthen our faith tonight. Hallelujah, that we might believe anything that God might have in store for us. Not only does the Bible tell us what faith is, but it tells us from whence it comes. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why I've tried, and I realize my ministry is winding down quickly, and I understand that, and I accept that. I'm ready for that. But I thought concerning the promise of God in His Bible, and the truth of God's Word, all of my ministry, I have encouraged people, I've tried to encourage people to read the Bible and be students of the Bible. I think maybe it came from my mom, because as long as I can remember, when we would get up, and there would be the breakfast table, and then when I started carrying papers, I didn't eat breakfast with the family. I just went the last minute I could to carry the papers and get back home and change clothes and get on the bus. But when Mom would gather the family and my dad around the table for breakfast, as soon as it was over and the children was off to school, my mother had the Bible on the kitchen table. And she would sit there and read the Bible and pray. And I've mentioned before how that after my mom died and we were going through some of her Bibles and some of her notes, how that the Bible was such a real part of her life. And I'm glad that some of that rubbed off on me. I love the Word of God. I am not boasting at all tonight, and not in any sense of the word, because I am nothing without God. But I try to encourage people to read the Bible and stay in the Word of God. And that's another reason why, because the Word of God is powerful. That's why we as a church give to missions. And since I've mentioned about the Gospel for Asia missions program, but let me just share something with you. I thank God for the church. Thank God for the way that you've given to missions. Did you know it was just last year, I think, or year before last, that this church gave $80,000 in 1 year to missions? Small church. We've given over $1 million to missions. And I thought I got a call from the Gideons, and they wanted us to know that they appreciate over 20 years we've been giving money every month to the Gideons. You know what the Gideons do? They take the monies that we send and they buy Bibles. Nothing for themselves. When they go overseas to distribute the Bibles, they don't take one penny for the traveling, one penny for the effort, for anything like that. Every penny goes to Bibles, and we get the Gideons to buy Bibles, and they might put them in motels and hotels and hospitals and schools around the world. It has come to a sad day. In the fifth grade in America, a lot of places, they will not take them in America, but in Russia, the fifth graders is receiving them. Amen. Thank you for giving to the Gideons. I got a call from Wycliffe Christ Leaders and a letter just recently to thank the church for what you have done in giving to have the Bibles translated into the various languages around the world. I heard a testimony this week. By the year 2030, if the Lord tarries, every nation in the world, every dialect in the world, every tongue in the world, every language in the world will have the Word of God in their own language. That's the Wycliffe translators that God, that new technology is helping in such a wonderful way. Thank you, church, for what you've done. Then I thought about Gospel of Asia. We've given $23,000-something already this year for Gospel of Asia. We build a church in Asia. And we give so much money every month. We're supporting 16 national missionaries at $30 apiece every month. Thank God, thank God. Someone talked to me this week about building another church for the cause of missions. Listen closely. When God said go into all the world, those of us that can't go, we can support those that do. And you have been so faithful in doing just that. We have purchased some thousands of Bibles for Asia harvest at $1.80 apiece. And they're begging for Bibles in China. Did you know the China church is probably the most pure church tonight in the world? What do you say, preacher? Because of persecution. They go to jail. Many have given their lives. They're beaten. They're taken away from their families. But they still serve God. You've got to be pure to self-control to go through all of that. You know, Paul never died and ended up in jail. It wouldn't be worth it. Thank God for this church. Why we give to missions as we do? Because of the Word of God. Without the Word, no faith. Without the Word, there's no hope. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is the victory, John said, that overcometh the world, even our faith. Oftentimes in our Bible study, we mention the last days of perilous times, and you know that to be so, and so do I. The Bible says, what can be shaken will be shaken. Let me say that again. The Bible says, what can be shaken will be shaken. I want to make a declaration. Your faith need never be shaken. Whatever comes our way, I trust that your faith is so strong that whatever happens in your life, it will not be shaken. You'll stand true and then be on the side of God all the way. Note, just as we said this morning of Abraham being tested, our faith will be tested as well, but we need not be shaken. Let me say that again. I want everyone to understand, if you serve God, obey God, love God, your faith will be tested. Amen. You will go through some difficulties in life. Let me just read it. What we were singing a while ago. I thank it in Jesus, the storms of life I brave. I thank it in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I thank it in Jesus, for He hath power to save. I thank it in the rock of ages. There will be some storms in your life. If they have not come yet, they will come if the Lord tarries. But your faith need not be shaken. Can everyone say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen, amen. What are you going to do when the bottom falls out? You can hold on to God. What are you going to do when the storm clouds raging and the flames are bursting over the boat? What are you going to do? We're going to hold on to God. Amen. Our faith need not be shaken. Whatever the devil might try to do, I have three thoughts that I would like to bring to our attention tonight. Our confidence is in God. And our faith will not be shaken. Our trust is in Him. He cannot fail. Our faith is founded on the Word. And I'll say this again tonight. The Word of God cannot be broken. We might break God's commandments, but we will not change the commandments. They cannot be broken. We're going to be judged out of this Word just like it is. And I thank God for His blessings. Like Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, we're going to keep on running this race. Like Abraham did Jesus, and we're going to keep on trusting God. And we're going to pass the test, just like he did. Like David, we're going to defeat the enemy. Hallelujah. And we're going to come forth with victory over the Goliaths in our lives. We're going to have the victory. We have the victory. And we're going to cross the finish line with victory. Three examples I would like to mention tonight in the sermon. Again, I would like to go back to the children of Israel. Not coming out of Egypt. Not in the wilderness. but going across the Jordan. And when they got across the Jordan River into the promised land, having obeyed God, they were shouting the high praises of God, no doubt. We have finally come to the place that Moses said that God promised. We've come to the promised land that Abraham said that God had given to him and his children and all the children forever. I want you to know they crossed the Jordan River and came to the promised land. And the first thing they faced was Jericho. Came face to face with Jericho, probably the most fortified city in all of southern Canaan. God said to Joshua, I've got a plan for you. I want you to take the people. I want you to march around the city 7 times. I want you to march around the city once a day for 6 days, and then I want you to march around the city 7 times on the 7th day. And one other thing, Joshua, I don't want anyone to say a word. Oh, that the people should do is have the priest blow the ram's horn trumpets and marching around the city. He said, if when they come the last time, I'll give the victory. Listen closely tonight. That was not a plan that some army general thought up. That's not a plan that you and I, strategy that you and I would have come up with. March around the city, fortified city. Armies on the walls. Here we are. Joshua and the people of God marching around the city. I would have never come up with that plan. But if God comes up with a plan, brother, all we've got to do is follow it. They marched and kept quiet. The trumpet sounded. The ram's horn trumpet sounded. They kept that night. They came the next morning around the city. And they kept quiet. And the priests would blow the trumpets. And the 3rd day, 4th day, 5th day, 6th day, and on the 7th day, they marched around that city 7 times. I want you to know, it was not a city like Hampton and Newport News. It's a very small area. They marched around the city 7 times on the 7th day, and when they marched around the city the 7th time with the priest blowing the ram's horns, a trumpet, the Bible said, and the people shouted. Listen closely. They shouted before the walls came down.
Right.
You know what we do? When the walls came down, we can shout all over the place.
Yeah.
Right. When revival is burning in the church and everybody's on fire, amen, and on the mountaintop, everybody's in rejoice. But the Bible said they shouted. And then the walls fell. Maybe God's trying to tell us something. Shout because of what God's already done. See what he's doing some more.
Amen.
Amen. This ain't what happened. Then they shouted, the walls came down. They believed what God said. As foolish as it might sound, as unorthodox as it might sound, just marching around the city, and then blow the ram's horns, and they shouted, and the walls said, God gave the victory because of their faith. Do you still believe he's able to do it for us?
Yes.
Amen, amen,
amen.
Probably one of the greatest services this church has ever had is the night that God had us to watch around this church. Probably one of the most outstanding services we ever had. On that very night, several received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God began to move in a real way. And I'm saying in this church right here, God is still God. And he's still able to do all things. Faith. They believe. They obeyed God. Let me share another illustration. In the midst of a famine, in the land of Israel, with King Ahab, the king, and Elijah, the prophet. God said to Elijah, you know the story, how he, go down by the brook Cherith and I'll take care of you. And God sent the ravens down to feed him in the morning and in the evening with bread and meat. And when the brook dried up, and the famine's going on, what is he going to do? And God said, now I want you to get up from there, and I want you to go to a place called Zarephath, and I've got a widow woman to sustain you. Didn't say I've got Papa John. Not even McDonald's. I've got a widow woman. When Elijah the prophet gets to the widow woman, finds out that all she's got a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal. Elijah said, God, if you'll all just bring me a whole cake first, God's going to bless. Everything's going to be all right. That woman had faith. She believed what the prophet of God said. She went in and fixed that muffin or whatever it was, brought it out there and gave it to the prophet. And don't you know that when she went back in there, there was enough for her and her son. And when they got up the next morning, she went to the meal bell, and there was enough for breakfast.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And when the next meal time came, she went back to the meal bell, and there was still some meal. And oil. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And as long as the famine was in the land, God took care of Elijah and the woman and the son because of faith in God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Any of us could have had faith if God would have said, go to a certain family. I'll use Carl. Carl came from Roanoke Rapids up to Newport News to work in the Daily Press. Look for a place to find a room. By coincidence, but by the hand of God, he ended up with a woman named Sister Kleinert. Sister Kleinert had a home, a large home, and a large family. They attended church with us, Newport News. Had several girls, our family had several boys. Carl ended up, somebody recommended, go to Miss Kleinert's house. Went there, and he's told me, and I don't remember now, but that woman put food on the table. A bonus of food, and packed a lunch. You can see Carl, he's made it pretty good over the years. If anybody would say, if you knew Sister Kleinert, if anyone would say, go to Sister Kleinert, she'll take care of you. Brother, that was easy for me to understand. She was a cook. But he said, go to a widow woman. A widow woman that doesn't have anything. And she's going to take care of it. All she's got just a little bit. That's faith. Sometimes I'm afraid that we don't have the faith that we ought to have, because we're expecting God to do something great out yonder, when God will take something that's small and do something with it. Believe God tonight. You might not be anybody special, nor I. We might not get our names in the paper or anything that we've ever done, but remember this, you're special to God. You're part of the family of God, and just a little bit of faith. Just a little bit. He said, if you had faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. Hallelujah. Let me just tell a story with you. A young man in Syria, this was a long time ago, a military man in the army by the name of McDaniels, got saved. God saved him, and I mean gloriously saved him. He lived in sin. He was wicked. He was not married, but he was wicked. But God saved him and changed his life, turned him around. God called him to preach. But when he was praying, he looked out of his barracks. He was saved in the barracks on Fort Matuga. He looked out the window just after he had been saved a short time. He was reading the Bible, and the Bible says, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea. And McDaniels turned his face to the wall, and to the window, looked out the window, and prayed, believing God to move that mountain. Then because that man was moved, he came to me. Listen close. He was a new convert. He believed in liberty. Let me share this with you tonight. God could have moved that mountain. There was a mountain in my Daniel's life. God moved the big mountain in his life. He made him something. Make something out of nothing. Aren't you glad he can still move mountains tonight? Thank God, thank God, thank God. We're serving a big God. We're serving a good God. I believe. I haven't jotted it down, but maybe my mind will be so clear when I get to heaven, I won't even have to have notes. I'd like to talk to Elijah. I'd like to talk to Abraham. Especially after this week's study. I'd like to talk to him. He had faith. Man. I'd like to talk to Elijah. How did you feel when you first got to the widow woman's house and you realized she didn't have a thing?
Amen.
And the famine was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Elijah would say, Glenn, all I had was faith in God.
Amen.
And if you've got faith in God tonight, you'll have something real. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a good God, what a blessed Redeemer is ours. One of the thoughts that I would like to bring to our attention tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the 7th chapter of Judges, there's a man by the name of Gideon. All right, Brother Gideon. God said, Gideon, I've called you to be the leader He said, how can I be the leader? I'm the least in my father's house. And my father's house, the least in the kingdom, or in the tribes. How can I be the leader? Listen closely. If God calls you, whatever it is, you can do it. Whatever it is, you can do it. He said, Gideon, I want you, the Midianites, they're thorn in your flesh, they're overrunning the cup they're thirsty, and they're stealing your grain, and you're working hard, and you're coming to nothing. Brother, I want you to go out to battle, and I'll give you the victory. So I blew a trumpet. And the Bible said 32,000 came. We'll fight. We'll go to battle. You know the story. How that after a while they realized they were really going out to battle, and people's going to be killed. He said, if anybody would like to go rather than go home, rather than fight, go on. A bunch of them left. Then they took them down by the lake, that river, and they drank a certain way, and God said, the ones that drink this way, put them over here, the ones that drink this way, put them over here. And then God said, take those over there, 300, and go out to battle. Now, I want you to know who they're fighting. The Midianites with 135,000. If you know math, that is 450 to 1. That is not good odds. In any war. 300 going out to fight against 135,000 Midianites. Farm boys. Knowing nothing about fighting. And all God has them to do is take a pitcher in your hand and a lantern in the pitcher and a trumpet. If I was going to fight the Midianites, I'd want to have a carbine or an AK-39 or something. I don't know much about military pieces. I'd like to have something, but God said, go out with those 300 with a pitcher and a lantern and a trumpet. Fighting the enemy.
Yes.
Listen closely to what I tell you now. Sometimes it seems like God's ways are foolish. But His ways are higher than our ways.
Amen.
And His ways are always best. When you begin to think about things, what you would do and how you would do it. And then you ask God, and it's altogether different. I want everyone to remember what I say. Don't ever forget this. Whatever God says, that's the right way. That's the best way. That's the way to victory. Gideon got those 300 men, divided them up into three companies, went out to fight, and you know the battle. You know the rest of the story. God gave them the victory over 135,000 Midianites. You know the rest of the story. God gave the victory. Like in Elijah's day, you know the rest of the story. God took care of him throughout the famine. You know the rest of the story, the end of the story for Joshua and the children of Israel. When they obeyed God, the wall came down. So I will finish tonight by saying this, and our church has several. Right now, some in manners that I did not realize, there's a lot of folks that are suffering. Some folks that try their best to act as if everything's all right because they don't want anyone to feel sorry for them. And so they do the best they can. But some are suffering, suffering, suffering. They're going through a trial. And so please take the words of the pastor tonight. It is a testing time from the Lord. The devil will try to make you believe it's because of sin in your life. The devil is a liar.
Amen.
It is a testing time, not only for individuals, but for our church. We've had some to come to cry out. They were received by the people, voted for the good votes for a couple, and then things didn't work out, and they decided not to come. I was talking to Tom before service tonight, the first or second Sunday of November, we'll have someone else. I believe this with all of my heart. I believe God has us in mind. More concerned about us than we are.
Amen.
I know you prayed, you fasted and prayed. You want the will of God, and I want the will of God. I want the will of God. God's been so good to us. God's blessed us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to remember what I'm saying. Some are going through a hard time. It's a trial of your faith. It's a difficult hour. Sometimes you pray and cry until you feel as if there are no more tears. You prayed until you prayed out. You don't know what else to say, what else to do. Pain is there, suffering is there, whatever the hardship might be. It's a testing time.
I want to say tonight by faith, we're going to make it through to the other side. We're going to cross the finish line with victory. God's in control. God loves us. God loves every one of you. Beginning with my wife on the front pew, and all the way back to that back, and all the way from her dad, and the pastor's love. God's concerned about us. God loves us. Have faith in God, amen. He's going to see us through. He's going to meet the needs. He's going to take care of that. If he does not heal, he's going to take us out of here.
Yeah.
For glory, hallelujah. Praise God. Paul said, if I had my brothers, I'd never go on. That is servant talk. If I had my brothers, I'd never him just take me right on. But I feel like it's just something else for me to do. I leave this through the night. I don't feel like God has me to leave it any longer in the ministry. I don't feel that. I believe my ministry has been fulfilled. God is blessing something else. I say this tonight with all of my heart. Have faith in God. God's going to see us through. He's going to take care.
Amen, amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
We're going to pray. I'm going to ask you one more time to pray for my wife.
Amen, amen.
Next Monday, not tomorrow, she's going to have hip surgery replacement. I've got to call tomorrow to find out about Coumadin, because you've got to be careful with Coumadin when you have surgery. We've got to go back to the cardiologist Wednesday to get some results, but this is what I want you to pray about. My wife cannot do anything at all hardly without being out of breath. We have installed a chair to ride up the steps. I haven't tried that thing out yet. Ride up the steps and come down. That's been a lifesaver. She don't have to walk the steps to her bedroom and the bathrooms upstairs. Been so good. But she can just do a little bit, and she's sitting there. When we were in the doctor's office, and she had an EKG Friday, Thursday or Friday, in the doctor's office, another doctor's office. When they, when she went back to just put her clothes back on to finish up, she was sitting there, and I watched her in the chair. She was gasping for breath just to do that. The reason I'm saying all that, and don't feel, I'm not asking you to feel sorry for us, because there's people around this congregation. Have faith in God. God still sees.
Yes.
God loves us.
Yes.
He's going to work everything out for His glory. He's a good God. His ways are not our ways, but His ways are the best.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes.
I don't understand some things. We talk together more over and over again. I don't understand some things, but one thing I know, God loves us.
Yes.
He loves us more than we can even imagine.
Yes.
Hallelujah. One more time, I want to say it. What can be shaken will be shaken. But our faith need not be shaken. Our trust in God. Hold on to God. Whatever you do, keep on walking. Keep on serving. Keep on running the race. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting God. Hallelujah. We're going to cross the finish line of victory. We are the chosen of God. We are the people of God. We are the redeemed of the Lord. Hallelujah. We are those that God called out. We are on our way to the city where the Lamb is alive. Whatever you do, hold on to God. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Follow the Lord. Hold His hand and don't let go. Trust in God. He's going to see you through. He's working it all out for His glory. Come on, honey, to the piano. We're going to sing a chorus and we're going to pray. I want you to pray for her one more time tonight.
Yes.
Maybe some others as well.
Yes.
Thank God for His goodness.
Yes.
I have no complaints tonight. I have nothing, nothing, nothing to complain about tonight. God has been good to us. God's been good to us. If it takes us both out of here tonight, He's been good to us.
Amen.
He's been good to this church. He's blessed us and we're grateful. Will you stand together?